Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The U.S. Navy needs everything in the Pacific, given the threat of the People's Republic of China against Taiwan, against the neighborhood. Right now, there's a controversy in Congress. The Senate Armed Services Committee is supporting the ambition of some, especially the U.S. Navy, to build the San Antonio-class amphibious transport dock, LPD-33. The Marine Corps also is advocating for what is called an unfunded priority. The question of amphibious ship warships is much in the news because of the Marine Corps' remaking of its mission in the Pacific in the event of a catastrophe such as a war with the People's Republic. Helping me on these matters, Rear Admiral Mark Montgomery, U.S. Navy retired, who is a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. A very good evening to you, Admiral. This becomes confusing inside the building itself because the Navy's going one way, the Secretary of Defense may be going another, the White House is over here, and then there is the matter of what the fleet needs. If I understand correctly, there is an opinion that the Marine Corps needs more amphibious landing craft, transport docks, in order to provide security for all of our allies in the Pacific. Question of money and budgeting comes to mind, and I'm reminded of the very famous Churchillian story of the dreadnought race in the early part of the 20th century. Churchill is quoted wryly as having said, "The Admiralty had demanded 6 ships, the economists offered 4, and we finally compromised on 8. What is this controversy now to our understanding? What does it mean for the China threat and for the U.S. Navy? Good evening to you.
Well, John, first, thank you very much for having me. And this is a very complex issue. You're right. To put it in bare bones, the Department of Defense is arguing for fewer of the large deck amphibs that are used in kind of those traditional Incheon, Okinawa, Iwo Jima, what are called joint forcible entries. The Department of Defense is arguing for a number of 24 or less, probably around 21. The Marine Corps particularly would like to have 31. And Congress, especially the congressmen from the states that build a lot of these ships, would like 31 as well, or even more. And why this is important is the shipbuilding budget can flex a little bit, but it's probably plus or minus 3 or 4%. So if you build these, you don't build something else. There's a group of us that have been arguing, hey, we really need Marines in a fight with China. But what the Marines we need are Marines like the 12th Marine Littoral Regiment that's going to be in Okinawa, that moves out ahead of the conflict and gets in the Philippines and the southern Japanese islands, maybe even on Taiwan, and is just, you know, using his anti-ship cruise missiles. The new commandant, General Dave Berger, has reoriented all these forces, so there's a lot less tanks in them and a lot more anti-ship cruise missiles. These ships are, these Marines are critical, but they're not going to be delivered in a joint forcible entry, against opposed islands, because the way the Chinese are equipped now, they'll shred these ships. So a lot of us are arguing for the smaller ships that the Marine Corps wanted, landing ship mediums that skirt these Marines all around before conflict and get them ready to go, and then maybe invest the rest of the money in submarine warfare, the things that really help us win against China, and not buy these big deck amphibious ships. But as you noted, the Senate Armed Services Committee, led by Tim Kaine in this case, and many other senators from shipbuilding states, are arguing to build these ships, whether we need them tactically or not.
The Marine Corps has one wish, ambition. The Navy has another. The Defense Department has a budget. So let's move to another part of the Navy budget that seems to be both a combination of wishes and also resistance. This is the frigates. You tell me, I learned from you and your colleague, Jerry Hendricks, that there are no frigates in the fleet right now, which is a loss because frigates can operate in ways that we don't need to send in an Arleigh Burke-class destroyer, a battleship, to deal with controversies and to show the flag. There is a frigate class being built, the Constellation class. What is it that the Navy wants? Because they're building them now. Fincantieri's building them. Do they want more of these?
Well, that's a great point. You know, we don't have frigates now. We had them. They're usually seen as value to a power projection sea control Navy. They can do anti-submarine warfare. They can do some air defense. They can do anti-ship warfare. You know, they're kind of, you know, jack of all trades ships. Now, here's what's key. The Navy needs these ships at about half the cost of a destroyer. So Fincantieri's job, and the biggest problem they're going to have is the U.S. Navy diddling around. But Fincantieri's job is to deliver, you know, between 10 and 20 frigates at $1 billion a piece or less. And right now they're probably on, you know, the first one can be a tiny bit more, but then it prorates over and overall $1 billion. The biggest risk to this is the U.S. Navy fiddling around with the specifications at the last minute. But if they can deliver this ship at $1 billion, it has half the crew of a destroyer. It's got a lot less life cycle maintenance cost and can provide that anti-submarine warfare, some air defense. I got to tell you, if I can deliver it that cheap, I'd probably give it what Jerry Hendrickson's argued for, a large unmanned or optionally manned surface vessel going along with it with a whole bunch of extra vertical launch cells, you know, just, you know, tagging along with it everywhere it goes. And then you basically have a destroyer for half the cost and half the manpower. Manpower is the biggest bill we have. So we're really thinking hard about 10 to 20 frigates. And then after that, if it works, then we got to decide, are we going to go up to 40? And then the Navy starts thinking, do we need a second shipyard to get this done in time?
We don't have that second shipyard. I was about to ask that. These ships are all wonderful, but they're the product of an industrial base. It can't be outsourced to South Korea, although that's a good idea, Mark. I sometimes think that if they're our allies, they can build ships for us. So, well, overall now, these amphibious class, whether it's medium or large, whether it's 20 or 40 frigates, are we reshaping the Navy for the Indo-Pacific? Is that what's underway, Admiral?
Yeah, I think we are. If we do this right, first of all, the number one vessel that we need in the Indo-Pacific is one that we've known for a while, but we've cut corners on, and that's submarines. The Chinese cannot find our submarines. It's our strongest asymmetric advantage. They are limited. You know, they can only sink so many targets in a day because of the speed they operate and things like that. We probably need 70 submarines to produce the number we need in wartime. We have 52, and we're sinking down to about 48 before we come back up. So we've got to get that industrial base going, get the submarines going, and we have real issues there. That's number one. Number two is getting these landing ship mediums, these smaller ships, to get the Marines moving around the theater before war starts so they can be Marines, you know, feed off the land and fight and be just general pains in the butts for the Chinese. And then third, I think we need to get more surface combatants out there to defend the aircraft carrier strike groups, to do anti-submarine warfare, and that's destroyers, which we're building in Maine and in Mississippi, and then frigates, probably at 2 yards. You know, you can't build a frigate overseas. I mean, you've crossed about 9 red lights, you know, to try to build something overseas in Korea, even though you're right, we'd probably get it cheaper. The reality is I'd be putting this down in one of our traditional shipyards, maybe one that gets a few less amphibs. You give them a second, you know, you give them a yard to do frigates. You know, you lost your amphibs, you got the frigates. That's probably how I do it, mostly because the industrial base is there. The workforce is there. The secondary and tertiary suppliers are there. You know, I wouldn't go anywhere else. That's my personal opinion. But, you know, yes, we're re-envisioning the military. The final thing is unmanned, John. We've got to have unmanned surface vessels. You know, we've got it, you know, and you put a vertical launch cell in there with, 36 vertical, you know, missiles on board it, and it just, and it's optionally or minimally or zero manned, and it follows around a mothership, and it's just an extra batch of missiles to use either in offense, extra batch of missiles to use either in offense or defense.
Mark Montgomery, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.